morning, church. Well, let's see. I've about lost one. So we've been talking about for the last few weeks God's creational intent. Okay, and it's amazing that you can say things like that and it doesn't click, and then the next week it may click. Okay, so let me just tell you right up front. Y'all look at me, please. God's creational intent is under attack. Okay? It is under attack. There is an all-out blitz to obliterate the God of creation and His intent. Now look, this little book right here, we've been teaching at church camp since 2016. If you want to know and want to teach your kids what God's creational intent is, right here it is. Y'all with me? I mean, right here it is. It's kind of a children's book, but it's good stuff. Now, if you have studied that and you need a little more in depth, we've got it. And I don't think, I haven't asked him, but I don't think that Owen Strand had read this book when he wrote this book. But this is called The Grand Design. It is the foundation of our marriage conference. Okay? If you don't have this book, okay, now all the women at the women's conference got one last year. Right? 2 years ago. Drag it out. Okay? If you don't have one, we've got some more, and you're welcome to have it. Great. Great stuff. So this morning, I want to encourage you to become a Bible reader. I want to tell you about the marriage conference, okay? 2 weeks from today, it'll be over. 4 weeks from today, it'll be over with, okay? Y'all listen to me. I want y'all to hear this. We're having a Valentine's banquet. I'm talking about a catered, sit-down, decorated Valentine's banquet, okay? It's going to be good. We're going to have a meal. We're going to have music. We're going to have preaching. Okay? Women, listen. Tell your husbands you want to go to the Valentine's banquet. Okay? It's going to be a good time. And you husbands, tell your wives you're going to the Valentine's banquet. Matter of fact, you don't have to tell her this, but plan on right now to buy her a corsage. All right, the colors are red, white, right? Okay. Y'all know what that, men, you know what that is? That's a corsage. It's a flower that they wear right here. Okay. If you have trouble with financing that corsage, just see me or see Tom. We'll help you out with that, okay? We'll get you out of the bind this one time. It's going to be a great time. So plan on coming. If you don't sign up, I'm gonna text you. If you don't sign up, I'm gonna call you. If you don't sign up, I'm coming to see you. Okay? You got 2 weeks to get signed up before I start going to see folks. Get signed up for the marriage conference. It's gonna be good. Okay? And hey, Valentine's banquet, what would you expect to spend? $50-$100 at the least? This one is covered. All right? It's going to be good. Okay, you got your notes in front of you. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and Saved for a Purpose, Not for Perversion. Okay, so that's what God has done. He has created us and He saved us for a purpose and not for perversion. And we are being quickly perverted as a country, as a people. So listen to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Then God said, is anybody in here besides me warm? Is it cold in here? John, if you'd turn those units down so they won't run, I'd appreciate it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth. That's God's intent for man and woman, for male and female. So today, I'm given the privilege of being a prophetic voice for the church. The pastor has to handle three roles. He has to be the pastor. He goes to visit folks. He goes to the hospital. He does weddings. He does funerals. He does pastoral duties. Mostly, the pastor is also a preacher. He stands up and proclaims God's word. But occasionally, the eyes of the people, there needs to be an attempt that the eyes of the people might be opened to what's going on. And I'm telling you, I am sounding an alarm. And I pray that you would hear the alarm. So today, throughout America, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and next Sunday, you can do it either one. But also today, the Freedom to Preach the Gospel Sunday. Look, if you can't preach, repent, and turn to God, you can't preach the gospel. You might as well shut the door to the church. Did you hear me? Repent and believe the gospel. Now I want you to think just for a second. For at least the last 50 years, the church has been culpable in this. Maybe for the last 100 years, we've left an important part out of the two-part gospel message. We have just preached Jesus and told people to believe in Jesus and just get saved. You can worry about your sins later. We have on our own left out half the gospel. And now it's about to be outlawed. And we have nobody to blame for it except ourselves. That's where we're at. The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. Mark 1:14-15. These are the words of Jesus. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the gospel of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Change direction. Do an about face. Be a radically different person. Be exactly the opposite of who you are and put your faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. If we cannot preach against sin, if we cannot preach repent, now keep this word in mind, or be converted, we cannot preach the gospel. Let me tell you. It is now illegal in 4 states and counting in America and all of Canada. Listen, it is now illegal in 4 states in the United States and counting and all of Canada if you attempt to counsel a transgender person to return to identifying as their living and their birth sex. Y'all hear me? It is now illegal in 4 states in the United States, in all of Canada, it's illegal for a counselor, a licensed professional counselor, or a preacher to encourage a person who has begun to become identify as a transgender to give up that lifestyle and return to the lifestyle that God created them to have. Illegal. Now, I've got a John MacArthur quote for you in just a second, and it's a fresh quote. It's happened probably in the last month. Listen, preaching from the Bible against sexual perversion, are y'all with me, has been outlawed in Canada. Because transgendering, okay, homosexuality, you just take it to another step when you start talking about, listen, chemically castrating males and doing surgeries on females to remove their breasts. That's perversion at the height. And to say that's wrong from the pulpit and call it perversion in Canada and four states in the United States and counting every day is against the law today. So how far away are we from the Bible being an illegal book to own? Just a couple of laws like that. This is what they're after. They're after your Bible. They're after your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the big picture? The church and Christians in particular and others are unawares of what's going on, and the church and we are being squeezed into submission. Just do what you're told to do. It'll be okay. Just trust in what you're being told to do, and it'll be okay. That's where we're being moved continually. Every little new edict that comes out is just moving us to hunker down and to accept whatever happens. So what's happening, they're doing that so that whatever we are told by the, quote, authorities, we'll just do it. That's where they want us. Regardless of what we tell you to do, just do it. And don't ask any questions. Today's attack on God's ordained culture and structure has at least two problems. Are y'all with me? It goes against God's creational intent. What was God's creational intent for a man and woman? Y'all ready for this? Reproduction. Reproduction so that man might not become extinct. They have a second problem. There's no sense of a future judgment. No sense of a future judgment. So, what must we be about doing? Speak the truth of God's Word in spirit, in truth, and in love. Please do not allow someone to tell you how hateful your preacher is or how hateful you are to tell some person who's really confused about who they are that they need to turn back to their God-given sex at birth and live the life that God created them to live. Do not put up with listening to that being hateful speech. Listen, there's nothing hateful about the truth. Don't buy into it. Tell that person, if you knew that there was a judgment to come, you would know that me telling that person to repent and to turn to their lifestyle that God created for them, I really love them. Now, why am I telling you that? Because I'll tell you that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention now went on a liberal talk show and was berated And all of the Southern Baptist Convention was berated of their hateful attitude and hateful thinking, and never one word was said in resistance to it. Don't hunker down. What have I told you? You've got the book. Just go to Genesis chapter 1. You've got the book. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You know what's happening? They are trying their best to suppress the truth of God's Word. Romans 2:5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Listen, God's righteousness and holiness will one day be revealed to everyone. And you are the one that loves everyone if you tell them the truth that the wrath of God is to be expected and looked for if you don't repent and turn to God. Acts 4:29. Here's what your prayers need to be. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all what? Boldness. Acts 4:20. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. Do you believe what you've seen and heard? Have you believed what the Bible says? Have you believed what you've heard preached? Then you can't help but to speak it. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. The government is in the business of promoting perversion for the purpose of destroying a God-ordained society and culture. Listen, do you know how all the great empires have fallen? From the inside, the collapse of morals. Please open up your eyes and ears for just a second. Knowing that historically, okay, then tell me what is the purpose of a government that is promoting perversion? You with me? The destruction of that very society. So now they've gone a step further and outlawed in Canada, California, Nevada, New York, New Jersey, and I counted some more this morning. They've outlawed the counseling of transgender people to return to God in repentance and a normal God-intended sexuality that is identified by their sex at birth. Outlawed. Let me just kind of read this preamble, and this will go down in history as one of the greatest statements of speaking the time. Four pastors from Canada put this together, and you'll have a copy next week, and you'll have a copy today if you want one. Listen to this. In view of various culture abandoning eras and a broad decline presently inflicting and marginalizing the church, that's what the church is being done to. It's being marginalized as hateful, unloving, right? The church. And at a time in the Dominion of Canada when our civil society is renouncing both in law and sociocultural life its historic Christian heritage in pursuit of liberty without the gospel, justice without God's law, truth without the Scriptures, flourishing without obedience, atonement without the cross, love without faithfulness, peace without repentance, salvation without Christ, and a world without creational norms It is incumbent upon a faithful church to set forth to all powers and authorities the claims of Christ and the freedom of His kingdom people, the church. So what I'm telling you is, everything that has to be done to be made right with God is being marginalized. Let me read through those again. So this is what people are being told. You can have the pursuit of liberty without the gospel. You can have justice without obeying God's law. You can have the truth without it being scripture. You can have flourishing as a Christian without obedience. You can have atonement, your penalty paid for, without Christ. You can have love of God without faithfulness. You can have peace without repentance, salvation without Christ, and a world without creational norms. That's all a lie. There's no peace without Christ. You know, you've seen the signs. How many years ago was it on the Church of Christ sign up Sunset? K-N-O-W, no peace. No. Yeah, no peace, no Christ. No peace, no Christ. You know the little sign, how they had it worded. So, in a national cultural context in which the ultimate sovereignty is being rapidly seized or surrendered to the state, imperiling inherited liberties and exposing our civil government to divine judgment, we must be mindful that freedoms not fought for are soon surrendered. Now is the time to fight for the truth being preached in God's church. Not after the law is passed, as it's been passed in Canada. So how about the Mark text above? The gospel includes repentance, conversion, and faith in Christ. Listen to this. The bill in Canada identifies God's plan for male and female. Are y'all with me? As a myth. This is in the preamble of the bill. Are y'all ready? You've got it in your notes. Follow along. It says that belief that heterosexual, cisgender, do you know what that means? That means living your biological and birth sex. All right? So heterosexuality, straight, cisgender, gender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over other sexual orientations, gender identity, and gender expressions is a myth. Are you with me? So, what the preamble to the bill says is this. Everything that the Bible says about sexual identity and who you are to be, this bill is defined, it defines what we believe as a myth. Canada, not Western Europe, Canada. And you don't think that the same people that brought that in there, up there, is not bringing it here? The bill goes on and defines conversion therapy, a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, change a person's gender identity to cisgender, your biological birth sex, change a person's gender expression so that it conforms to the sex to assign to the person at birth, repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior, repress a person's non-cisgender identity, or repress or reduce a person's gender expressions that does not conform to the sex assigned to the person at birth. Listen, Broadly, this is written so that preaching repent and believe the gospel would be grounds of charges being brought against a preacher for teaching what the Bible says about sexuality. If you can't preach against sin, especially sexual sins, you can't preach the gospel. Here's what John MacArthur says. The case is being made that this is talking about psychologists and counselors. Y'all with me? So what he's saying is, the case is out there, and it's being said, this is not an attack on preachers. This is not an attempt to keep preachers from preaching the truth. Are you with me? That's what they say. We weren't talking about churches. Right? Are y'all with me? We're not talking about a preacher from the pulpit. And John MacArthur says, in some ways, that's the cover. That's the cloak. The disguise. Listen to this. They're not after the psychologist. They're after the church. They're after God's Word. A nation founded upon God's Word will not survive when God's Word is considered a myth and is outlawed. It will not survive. So what did I tell you? Their obvious intent is the destruction of a society. This is still talking about Canada. Everyone who knowingly causes another person to undergo conversion therapy, including by providing conversion therapy to that other person, is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 5 years. Now, did that say anything about psychologists and professional counselors? It says what? Everyone, any person who tries to convert another person. Similarly, everyone who knowingly promotes or advertises conversion therapy is guilty of an indictable offense and liable to imprisonment for a term of not more than 2 years. Let me tell you what will happen out of this Sunday. It's going to be interesting to see how many of those pastors in Canada are indicted and jailed over this. Because they're standing in Canada Day in defiance of a law that went into effect on January the 14th and calling all the homosexuality and transgendering perversion. Now, preacher, they wouldn't do that. Well, you remember the preacher that got tired of his church not meeting on Sunday morning and decided to meet instead? What, did he spend 5 weeks? 5 weeks in jail? Hey, y'all listen to me. I started telling y'all 15 years ago. There will come a day when we'll come to that church and those doors out there will be locked. A padlock. Because we did not do what the government said to do. If we don't have a great revival, that day's coming. The train is headed downhill. You will have to drive to somebody else's house, and maybe even against the law, drive to someone else's house to have church. Again, I've already said we're talking about Canada. But I want you to know, just keep this in mind. Doesn't it sound nice, that Equality Act? I mean, what a nice thing to pass. You know what happened in Canada? And a couple of guys you need to be aware of. You need to be aware of a podcast called Just Thinking. Okay? You'll be interested to follow their blogs and their podcast. You're also, maybe you can remember this, the name Samuel Say. Samuel Say, S-E-Y. You ought to just go to one of those websites, Just Thinking or Samuel Say. What is it? What's the little catch deal? Anyway, really good places. And he talks about all this stuff. Listen to me. We are no longer a Christian nation. I don't even think we're a post-Christian nation. I think we are a nation in which has rapidly become, are y'all ready for this? Anti-Christian. Anti-Christian. Just think about the vibes out there in your workplace. Think about the way that you're treated. So today, men throughout the world, particularly in Canada and the United States, have been called on to preach on God's design for marriage and biblical sexuality. In Canada, they will be doing so illegally. So when the state, our government, is set on promoting and normalizing perversion, faithful ministers of God must speak out. I could go back through the scenario, 1962, prayer taken out of schools. Sometimes the law doesn't actually say you can't have prayer in school, but it moves people to think that you can't have prayer in school, no prayer in school, no Bible reading. 1973, abortion. 1980, Ten Commandments taken off of government buildings and such as that. 1996, we redefined marriage no longer between a man and a woman, but between whatever. Increments. Our love for the lost and known and willful sinners necessitate that we speak the what? Truth. The truth. All sinners need conversion. But the Bible often focuses on the sexually immoral, adulterers, effeminate, and homosexuals. And what's it say about these folks? Us folks, if we don't repent, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't tell me you love your kids when you condone and do not speak the truth to your kids that might even be living in a heterosexual, adulterous relationship. Our calling as gospel ministers is to preach the truth, confront sin, and call all men to repentance and obedience to the gospel. The good news that achieves soul repentance, conversion, and saves sinners from eternal wrath. So here's the truth. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, we are all unrighteous, and we have no righteousness of our own, and we know that the righteousness that's going to get us into heaven is not ours, but it's Christ. Amen? We have no righteousness of our own. The righteousness that's going to get us into heaven is Christ's righteousness. So to have any righteousness, we've got to believe in Christ. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. And y'all listen to me. You know that I preach just as hard from this pulpit about heterosexual sins, adultery and fornication, as I do perverted, homosexual, or transgendering sins. Sexual sins, unrepented of and unturned from, will condemn you to a burning hell. That's the truth of God's Word. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. How about the next part? Well, I like a couple of things about this whole... Look at verse 9. I really like this. Do you not know? You know what? You do know. You've been told. These will not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse 11. That's such were some of you, and such were some of you. That's who some of you were in the past. Amen? Whether it be fornication, sex outside of marriage, or adultery, sex with someone else after you are married, whatever the case may be, that's who we were. But what have we been? We've been converted by the grace of God. Amen? And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. Now look, if that's who you were, and that's not who you are today, praise God. And don't beat yourself up over it. But I want to tell you, if you're a Bible reader, wow. If that's who you were, are y'all with me? If that's who that you ever were in your lifetime, aren't there some scriptures that we read that just scare us to death? Somebody take a deep breath with me, will you? Oh, but the grace of God. Oh, but the grace of God. That's not who I am anymore. So what can we do? Hunker down? Don't tell your friends the truth? Come to church and... I listen. Don't turn on the TV. Don't go on the internet. Because y'all listen to me. Most churches have already given in. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Most churches have given in that we ought to legitimize, y'all with me? All of this sexual perversion. Second Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing in His kingdom. Look at verse 2. Preach the what? Hey, as long as I can from this pulpit. Right? And I know I'm a blessed man. I don't think I'll be comfortable, but I'll be a whole lot more comfortable in Howard County Jail than a lot of preachers would. Because I'm down there several hours a week. Did y'all hear me? Preach the word from the pulpit as long as you can. And then from wherever they put you after that. As long as you got what? Breath. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With complete patience and teaching. Be gentle. Amen? Be kind. That God might grant repentance. Verse 3, how about this? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Huh? It'll be outlawed. Oh, and they're rejoicing that it might be outlawed. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own what? Well, and let me tell you what else they're going to have in common. Preacher and the one that they tickle their ears. They're going to have this in common, a burning hell together. Listen, just because society has embraced some perversion does not mean that a preacher is going to be okay if he embraces it. I've told you before, there's some bad things about hell. A worm that never dies, a fire that keeps on burning you. But let me tell you the worst that it could be. Well, I'll tell you another one I like too. You're going to know where you ought to be and you can see it, but you can't get over there. But let me tell you, for a preacher, what's going to be bad. To those people that he did not preach to, repent and believe the gospel, every day for eternity, they will look that preacher in the eye and say, "Why didn't you tell me the truth?" As they both experience a burning hell. An abandonment of the preaching of God's Word is an abandonment of the Christ of the Word. We just read it this week, did we not? If you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before man, I will not confess you. Hey, listen, this is not fun and games. This is life and death and eternity. Suit their own passions. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into mist. What they call God's created intent, what they call that? A myth. Isn't that interesting language? As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Hey, look, I've been to Tyson. I've been in their break room. I've been on the line at Tyson when I was a chaplain down there. I'm probably not going down there this week, but you down there. I'm probably not going to Husqvarna this week, but you may be down there. Or Mission Plastic or the school or wherever you might be. Speak the truth in love. And I wouldn't bust them out privately. But when they run out at the mouth talking about this perversion and how it's great and all this, carry them aside to the break room and speak the truth to them in love. And you don't have to get past Genesis chapter 1. So what can we do? Preach Christ and Him crucified. Preach the worship of the Creator, not the created. Preach repentance. So these are two or three verses, church, that's got to define what's going on and what we've got to know is going on. 2 Chronicles 20:33, it's one of my favorite. During the reign of Jehoshaphat, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines and the people never fully committed themselves to following the God of their ancestors. Listen to me, church. Get rid of our idols. You know, let me tell you what two of them are. Convenience. Come on now. Abortion. That is convenience. Let me tell you something else about convenience. Convenience is one of them. You know, the Bible says, replenish the earth. You know, why did Jeannie and I have two kids? Because my daddy and my mom and other people said, that's all you can... y'all tell me, that's all you can afford. Convenience, money, finances dictating and driving what we do and who we are. Listen, even to the point that it goes against God's creational intent, we pay no attention to it. We've got to get rid of our idols and we've got to fully commit ourselves to following the God of our ancestors. Acts 15:19-21. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those Gentiles who turn to God with all the rules and regulation, but should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. Tell me now, my life is not polluted by my idols. Y'all hear me? I didn't say your life. I said my life. Tom and I are going to hear a preacher in the next few days. The first time I heard him was in 2009 at Grace Baptist Church in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Same day that I met David Miller for the first time. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a $5 bill, and he looked at all of us white folks, and he's from Africa, and he said, "Here's your idol." Get rid of our idols. Said, write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual what? Listen to me. Church, Christian people, we have got to forsake all forms of sexual immorality and not condone it in our children. Idols, sexual immorality, that's all he's going to tell the Gentiles, plus the blood. We'll look at it in a second. Tell me that's not what we need to focus on today. Get rid of our idols and stop sexual immorality. Sometimes you delete a text and wish you hadn't. Sometimes you send a text and wish you hadn't. Sometimes you delete a text. And so I had this little deal, because this is what you hear all the time. She's my fiancé. You know what that means? I'm going to marry her, but we're living together. And so the rest of the little text was, it had a little gill and it says, it's still fornication. Get rid of sexual immorality. And from what has been strangled and from blood. Now, I don't have time to look into this. Let me tell you. Hold your hands up. If you have not been actively opposed to abortion, your hands is stained by the blood of babies being aborted in the womb. And when you have been complicit and voted for politicians who openly support abortion up to the last minute, you got blood on your hands. And until we get fed up with abortion in America and stop the shedding of innocent blood, there will not be revival in America. And I was so blessed. I believe this scripture and I preach this scripture. And I'm so thankful for ancient guys and Matthew Poole. I believe he's the John Bunyan, same time of John Bunyan. He says this about the shedding of blood. He said the most barbaric nations are the ones who openly take the blood of people made in God's image without any thought. Cannibalistic or whatever the case may be. They just openly shed blood. Well, listen, there's not one barbaric nation in past history as barbaric as our nation who has killed now over 70 million babies in the womb. Until we get a belly full of that, there's not going to be any revival in America. Now, let me say it. Murder and abortion is not the unforgivable sin. So I'm not here to beat you up today if you've ever had an abortion or promoted somebody having an abortion. I'm just telling you, call it what it is. You know what it was? You know what abortion is? It's taking the life of a baby made in the image of God. It had a soul. It was a spiritual being. It had the capabilities for righteousness and for holiness. And we take that life. You remember Cain and Abel? You remember what God said to Cain? The what? The blood of your brother is what? Crying out. Listen to me, church. Until we get a belly full of abortion, and until we hear the blood of those aborted babies crying out, and we make up our mind, we're going to do whatever we can do to stop it. We're not going to have revival. Forget it. And from what has been strangled and from blood, for from ancient generations Moses has laid in every city those who proclaim him, for he has read every Sabbath in the synagogue. 2 Chronicles 7:14, where does it start? If my people, the church, who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Revival in America is not going to stop with those promoting, not going to start with those who promote abortion and sexual perversion. It's going to start with the church. Revival must begin in the church. We've got to get rid of our idols, convenience, and wealth. You know what? Do we not work like we think we can take it with us? We must return the church over and over and over again to God's creational intent. All right? God's creational intent. Let's just go back to the first and look at it. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. We're to be the boss of. We're to take care of God's creation. We are not the creator. God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them, and we are to go and to populate the earth. That's God's creational intent. But I want to leave you with this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Now let me tell you, just so I'm not misquoted, that's heterosexual, fornication, or adultery. Heterosexual sins, sexual sins of all kinds, as well as homosexuality and all sexual perversion. What's it say? Flee from sexual immorality. And that's got to start with the church. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, church. We studied back a month or so ago in Matthew 18 that when two or three gather together, He's there also and He hears our prayers. You adults, I've really been burdened. I've got five grandkids that are between 22 and 18. Now, 22 and 18, one that's 14. Wow. They are under tremendous pressure to cave in to the world. They are under tremendous pressure to be heterosexually promiscuous. They are under tremendous pressure. Matter of fact, they are encouraged to identify as other than their biological sex and to be applauded for it, encouraged in that way. They need your prayers, and they need you speaking the truth to them in love. Oh, please don't condone it. So we must flee sexual immorality as we call for a turning away from all sexual perversion. So on this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, I pray that, and it comes for different people. I pray that today is the day that you got a belly full of abortion. And you've said, no more if I'm going to be any kind of promoting of that. None whatsoever. Today is the freedom to preach the gospel Sunday. Turn away from our idols. Turn away from all sexual immorality. And turn away of the shedding of innocent blood, hatred, and malice. I pray that Tom could come and bring some closure to this.